is a building project. Every life is a building project. I know that because Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 declares that He has began a good work. Not that He has completed a good work, but that He began a good work. He's working on you and He's working on me. Every day we're laying another brick. Every day there's another nail being driven. Every day we're making another decision that shapes the future. So the question then is not whether or not you're building. The question really is, what are you building on? What are you building on? We had men's breakfast yesterday. A bunch of you were still at camp, and I understand that, and so our numbers were a little bit down yesterday for men's breakfast. But we did. Willie had challenged us to do this little. I don't even know what you'd call it. It was an exercise, I guess. And what he challenged us to do was to draw a picture of a tree that represented your life. And so we did that, and it was very interesting as we went around the table and we talked about the trees that we drew and how it represented our life. And one of the things that was most important about every tree was that there was a root system on the tree that went below the surface. You can't really see the roots that are below the surface. I mean, sometimes roots do come above the ground, but most all of the roots go down deep in the ground, and they support the structure and give stability to the tree. And that's just an awful lot. It reminded me, I was thinking about that as I was working on this message, that below this building, deeper than the slab of concrete that you're sitting on here, all along these edges and especially in the corners and probably down the middle, there are places where the concrete is much thicker. The holes have been dug deeper. They're called footings. And they help give support to the foundation, and the foundation supports the building. And if we don't have a sure and solid foundation, if we don't have footings to build on, then the building is going to be weak. I remember one time we looked at a house in North Bend to buy, and it was built on a sand dune, which should have been our first clue to not even look at it. We obviously didn't buy that house, but some people from the church did buy the house. There's a biblical principle at play that says, don't build your house on the sand, build your house on a solid rock. There's a reason for that. They said, no, we can firm this sand up to where you can build on it. Well, no, you can't. Sand is migratory. It moves. And we later on, as youth pastor, went to this house, and the front porch had moved about that far away from the front door. It had a freestanding wall between the kitchen and the living room, and there was a refrigerator in the kitchen, and the refrigerator, the wall had a shelf that was built out over the top of the refrigerator, and the refrigerator was what was now holding up the wall because the wall tipped over. Because the foundation was not stable. The foundation was not sure. And if it's not sure, and if it's not stable, then the building is going to move. The building is not going to stay. It's going to cause all kinds of problems. If you go up, how many of you know where Rock Creek is off the North Umpqua River? If you go up Rock Creek, and you go to the 2 mile marker, right at the 2.5 mile marker, actually, if you look down over the bank, there's a gorgeous, gorgeous home that they just finished rebuilding just a year or so ago, that was all that area was devastated by the fire, and they built this beautiful home there, and I mean, it is beautiful and it is huge and it is condemned. It's beautiful, it's huge, it's big, it's brand new. They just built it and it's condemned. Why is it condemned? It's condemned because the earth underneath of it is moving and the windows are breaking and the front porch is away from the house. Why? Because they didn't get a solid foundation. They did not build on a solid foundation. My whole point this morning is, what are you building your life on? Turn with me in your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. When you get to Luke chapter 6, drop down to about verse 46 and stand with me for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Let's let that sit for just a minute. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building his house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Father God, I pray today that you'd help me to preach this message, Lord, the way I feel it inside me, the way I feel it in my spirit. And I pray, God, that we would, regardless of where we are in our relationship with you, we can leave here saying, Lord, I'm adding another brick to my foundation. Lord, I'm shoring up my foundation one brick at a time, one thing at a time. Lord, I'm strengthening my foundation. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, God, you'd help us to receive from your Holy Spirit today what you're trying to communicate through this flawed vessel that they call the pastor. And I thank you for it, Lord. I pray, God, you bring the increase. Lord, you do what only you can do through this word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. How many of you have heard the story of the three little pigs? The three little pigs. You know how they built. One built out of straw, one built out of wood, and one built out of bricks. How many of you know they all ended up in the brick house? Because the brick house was the only house that was stable. The brick house was the only one that the wolf couldn't blow down. So Jesus here tells the story of two builders. Both heard his words. It's important to understand that both heard. They both heard his words. They both built houses. And they both faced the storm. One stood and one collapsed. The difference wasn't the storm. The difference was the foundation. Not every foundation is solid. Not every foundation is sure. The storms, however, reveal what we're built on. Some of us pray, Lord, protect me from the storm, and the Lord lets the storm rage because he wants to protect you through the storm, not from the storm. Every time I preach about roots and about foundations, my mind always goes back to a tree on, I believe it's Salmon Creek, between Powers and the Sixes River, down outside of Powers, you go, and there's a junction down there, and at that junction, there's a shoe tree where everybody throws their shoes tied together, and there's shoes all over this tree. And if you go to the right there, you'll come out on Highway 101 at Sixes River. And as you go down that road, there's a tree, and I don't know if it's still standing, but my guess is that it probably is. And it's a gigantic, it's probably 4 or 5 foot through Doug fir tree that grows right out of the bank of the river. It just grows, it just grows right out of the bank, and it grows out and it comes up. And what I know about that country is there's a lot of wind in that country. The wind can blow in that country. And it knows how to rain in that country. And so that tree, probably 200 or 300 year old tree, I would imagine. And there it is. It's still standing there on the bank of that river. It's withstood storm after storm after storm. It's not even growing straight up out of flat ground. It's growing out of the side of the bank. And yet there it stands as, really, to me, every time I think about it, a testimony of what it means to have a sure foundation and your roots secured in the ground, in the realm of Jesus Christ. Because that tree has stood the test of time. If you watch the news and you see sometimes there's these major hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff that rip through, especially the South, reporters will be going through the neighborhoods and nearly every home will be damaged or destroyed, and there'll be one house just standing there, unscathed, it would seem. The secret is probably what it's secured to, what you can't see, what's underground, what it's anchored to. I know there's a log house on North Myrtle, just two places past Frozen Creek. It's a log house. It's on the right-hand side. I grew up there. I helped my dad build that house. And I can tell you with all certainty that it's going to take quite a storm to move that house. Because that house has 9/16 cable from buried in the foundation of the building, up through the blocks on the foundation, and all the way up through the logs. Every log is drilled all the way through, and there's a piece of all thread on the top of that is attached to that cable, and those have been screwed down and cut flush. It's going to take quite a little windstorm to blow that house off the foundation. I know that because it is anchored. I think about that, I think, man, I hope I'm anchored like that. I hope we're anchored like that. The secret is usually underground. It's usually not able to be seen. Some deep pilings, the reinforced foundations, work that nobody can really see. And likewise, church, the strength of your life is determined by what is beneath the surface. Amen? Verse 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" We can't overlook Jesus' question here this morning. He's not speaking to atheists. He's speaking to people who call Him Lord. And we call Him Lord, but we don't do what He says to do. We know the language. We know Christianese. We know all the songs. We know the religious culture. yet so many times refuse to obey. And here's the problem, part of it. Many people want Jesus as their Savior, but not Lord. There's a difference. There's a difference between Jesus as my Savior and Jesus as my Lord. Because if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Ooh, isn't this fun? See, oftentimes, church, we want heaven without surrender. We want forgiveness without repentance. We want blessing without obedience. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that says that is going to get there. You can know all about it and miss because you haven't applied it to your heart and your life. It hasn't changed you. Jesus is teaching that genuine faith produces obedience. We're talking about it on Wednesday night in our Bible study. We're talking because there's such a debate about works and about faith and you know, I don't have to do anything for my salvation. And that's true. You don't have to do anything for your salvation because you are saved by grace. But because of your salvation, there's probably some things that you're going to be doing because the Bible says that you are His workmanship created to just sit on the back of your lap. Somebody please argue with me. No, you're created for good works. Those good works don't save you. You're already saved, but because you're saved, there's some things that we need to do. Obedience doesn't save us, but it does reveal who we belong to. A child can tell his parents, hey, I love you, but if that child continuously ignores every instruction and eventually his words become meaningless, it's like the little boy that cried wolf. Every time he'd cry wolf, everybody would come running. Every time they came running, there was never a wolf. And finally, the boy cried wolf one too many times and nobody came. And guess what? There was really a wolf. And guess what? There was devastation. Love is demonstrated through obedience, and the same is true with Christ. Do I merely profess Christ, or have I surrendered to Christ? I watch the news more than I probably should. I see the just absolutely unrest in the streets. Listen, I'm not against sports. I played sports in school, but just because your team wins a basketball game, that doesn't give you the right to destroy everything that's in front of you. They beat the windshield out of a taxi. What is that about? Why do you have to? That's not celebration. That's rebellion. And we're seeing it. Why? I personally think it's because mom and dad's checked out in so many of those lives and just turned them loose to society to do whatever. Listen, mom and dad, it's time to say, listen, my kid ain't going to act like that. We see it. When I was growing up, if a police officer pulled me over, I want you to know I was scared out of my mind. Because I'm probably going to go to jail for something or something. And I'm going to be respect. I mean, I'm going to be nice. I would never even think about raising a hand to a police officer. They'd have probably just went. I just can't believe how far we've drifted. As a culture, as a society, as, let me just get right to it, as a nation founded on the principles of God. We're still one nation under God. Do I just profess Christ, or have I surrendered to Christ? Is he making a change and a difference in my life? Is he my Savior only, or is he also my Lord? Look at verse 47 and 48. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep. Who dug deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. I want you to see three things this morning. Number one, I want you to understand that salvation begins by coming to Christ. Salvation begins by coming to Christ, not to a church. Not to a church, not to a denomination, not to good works. You come to Jesus. I surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The one, according to John 6 and 37, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out, Jesus said. So salvation begins by coming to Christ, and salvation comes to he who hears Jesus. Many hear sermons, many hear Bible lessons, but hearing is not enough. Hearing alone is not enough. Church, overlooking a cook, or owning rather, a cookbook does not make you a master chef. Owning a cookbook does not make you a master chef. And here's one that really applies to me. Reading an exercise book does not make me fit and healthy. Settle down. if you want to cook something good, like monster cookies or ribs, and I mean, you got to do more than just read the book. You got to start stirring stuff up. You got to start mixing some things together. When I'm cooking, nobody has to wonder. You can see it. It's everywhere. I feel like it's my personal responsibility to use every utensil and every pot and pan in the house. Come on, brother. Me and you, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I've got a confirmation right over here in row three. Row three. Hearing without applying changes nothing. Hearing without applying changes nothing. So, you got to come to Christ. You got to hear and do, and you got to do what Jesus says. The wise builder obeys. Notice the says Jesus that he dug deep in verse 48. He dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. He laid the foundation below the surface. It's under the footings are bigger than the foundation. Foundations take effort. I don't know if you know that or not, but it takes effort. Digging is hard work. Thank God for hydraulic machinery. Hallelujah. Foundations do take effort. Digging really is hard work. This is speaking about repentance and humility and surrender and daily discipleship. Daily walking with the Lord. Daily growing with the Lord. James, again, James chapter 1, and I keep referring back to what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. It says in chapter 1 and verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I don't understand why there's such a debate about faith and works when over and over and over through the Scripture we're challenged and really literally commanded to be doers. There ought to be something that we're doing for the kingdom of God. Don't just sit on the back of your lap and fold your hands and pray for Jesus to come. I mean, I want Jesus to come too, but until He does, we got work to do. Until He does, you have a job to do. Well, no, not really me, Pastor. You do. No, no, my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. I show you in Scripture. That's my job. Your job is to do the work of ministry. That doesn't neglect me from doing some of the work of ministry as well. But it's not just up to the pastoral staff. We are so busy doing our own thing all the time that we don't have time to do His thing. And I got news for you. His thing's more important than your thing. His thing has eternal value and eternal consequence. A lot of people admire a strong foundation after the storm. Boy, can you believe that house is the only one in the whole daggum neighborhood that's still standing? Must be a really good foundation. And so we begin to amount. But very few admire the digging that took place beforehand. But it's the hidden work that determines the future of stability. The Christian life is more than just Sunday morning attendance. I mean, that maybe that's a shock to some of you, but the Christian life is more than just Sunday attendance. I learned a long time ago, I'm not any way, shape, or form good enough to put enough of God's Word in us to get us through the rest of the week until next Sunday. That's why the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved, workmen rightly dividing the Word of truth. You got to get into the Word for yourself. You got to grow for yourself. The Christian life is daily obedience. It's forgiving when it's difficult. It's forgiving when it's difficult. It's serving when it's inconvenient. If you were here last week before camp, I told the whole congregation that I wanted to be the closer. Ray told me, you're preaching on Friday night. You're going to be the closer. And I was like, woo! And then he called me and said, you're not going to be the closer. You preaching on Thursday. Are you okay with that? What am I going to say? No. I'm not okay with that. In fact, I'm not even going to come because I'm just upset. Here's what I know. I know I was moved to Thursday night for a reason. I know that. And I knew that going in. And if you remember right, I think I told you that there's probably going to be somebody there on Thursday night that might not be there on Friday night that needs to hear what God wants to speak to. And look at what happened in the lives of those young people. Thank you for being obedient and making me uncomfortable. And Brother Sizemore brought a message on Friday night that was over the top. It was an amazing message. In a wheelchair. You're never going to walk again. He's up there just stomping around. Back and forth. Healed by God. Quit praying about stuff and start speaking to stuff. That's what he said. He said, quit praying to the mountain and start talking to it, telling it, listen, you're out of here. Start Start talking about stuff. Start talking to your problem. We coddle it. Oh, this is so nice. Now get out of here. I mean, that's what we're called to do. The hidden work determines the future of stability. That, talking about that foundation, the Christian life is so much more. The Bible says in verse 48, let me back up. It's daily obedience. It's forgiving when it's difficult. It's serving when it's inconvenient. And it's giving when it costs. Ray, I'm going to talk about camp again. So what happens if we start giving today to the camp for next year? And what happens if what you gave enables somebody to go to camp and they end up getting saved? Now, how much value does your offering just now, how much does that take on? But you don't know what it cost me, but I gave a sacrificial offering. I gave a gift, and that sacrificial gift brought somebody to the saving relationship of Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, my giving takes on a whole new dimension. It takes on a whole new value when it becomes an eternal thing. Giving when it costs. And I save the best for last. Following Christ when the culture disagrees. Following Christ when the culture disagrees. Not everybody's going to be tickled to death about your decision to serve Jesus. Not everybody's going to be happy about that. Your old friends are going to want you to come to the bar and have a beer with them. Don't do it. Well, I think I'm strong enough I can just have a soda pop. No, you won't. Don't even try that. Verse 48 says, the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house. But I want you to notice something that is important. The storm came to the wise builder too. The storm came to both of them. Following Jesus does not exempt you and I from the storm. Following Jesus does not exempt us from the storm. The Christians experience sickness. We see it all the time. Christians experience financial hardship and family struggles and grief and disappointment. The Christian experiences all of that. The difference is not the absence of the storm. The difference is the presence and the reality of the foundation that you've been built upon. That's what the difference is. Two trees can look equally healthy on a calm day, but when the wind starts to blow, the wind will begin to reveal which one has strong roots. Storms reveal what calm weather conceals. Mike and I put up a canopy thing and out in the field, and one day went out there and it was gone. Gone. It left. Where's it at? It was two blocks down. It's just gone. You know why? Because it wasn't anchored. It was not tied to anything. It did not have any kind of foundation. The storm revealed what... It looked great when the calm weather was. It's beautiful sitting out there. That's wonderful. But the wind, it was gone. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That's my God. Some of you here today are facing storms. There's clouds are beginning to build and the winds are beginning to blow. And you know how you can see rain coming from a long ways off? Take heart. Don't freak out. If your life is built on Christ, the storms can shake you, but it can't destroy you. The storms can shake you, but they can't destroy you. Isn't that amazing? Luke 6 and 49 says this. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the storm beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It's sad. That's one of the saddest phrases in all of the Bible. He heard, he knew, he understood, and he did nothing. He heard. They both heard. He had knowledge and he understood. He had understanding, but yet he did nothing. See, the foolish builder wasn't ignorant. He was disobedient. Both builders heard the same words. They had the same opportunity. They experienced the same storm. Yet one ignored what the warning was. Imagine a man that receives repeated warnings that the bridge ahead has collapsed and he ignores every sign and keeps driving. The disaster is not because he lacked information. The disaster is because he ignored the warning. If the bridge is out, here's a clue, put on the brakes. Stop. It's not, you're not the Dukes of Hazzard. You're not driving a 69 Charger with a Hemi. You can't jump it. Jesus is describing and giving warnings that it's going to be bad if you don't do something different. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Church, the greatest storm is yet to come. One day, every person is going to stand before God. Your ultimate storm is not financial loss, it's not sickness, it's not death. It's standing before God and trying to give an excuse for what you did or didn't do with Jesus. One day, only one foundation is going to stand. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you're going to build anything of lasting value, it has to be built on the foundation Jesus Christ has already laid. Kathy, you can come. Worship team, you can come. Good works aren't going to save you. I already established that. Church membership cannot save you. We don't even have church membership. If you're a child of the Most High God, if you've given your life to Jesus, I got news for you. Your name doesn't have to be on a roster somewhere, on a roll somewhere. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're good. Your family heritage can't even save you. Just because grandma and grandpa, mom and dad went to church, were deacons and sang in the choir and all the stuff, they ain't going to save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. The two houses might have looked an awful lot alike, but the difference was underground. The difference was what it was built upon. Many people look religious on the outside, but what matters is what your life is resting upon. What are you anchored to? Jesus asked this question: why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The issue isn't whether or not you attend church. The issue is not whether you know all the Bible stories. The issue is this: have you truly built your life on Jesus Christ? Bow your heads with me, will you? The good news is Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again so that you and I could be saved. He's established the foundation on which we build our life. And today, you can come to Him. Today you can begin to build on the solid rock. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're watching today by way of the internet on Facebook or on YouTube or wherever you watch these services from. You can begin your life on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. For the rest of us, the invitation is equally clear. Are there areas of your life where you hear His words but you're not obeying? The question is whether you've never accepted the Lord before or whether or not you need to rededicate your life. Today you have the opportunity to recommit yourself not merely to hearing the words of Christ but doing what He says to do. Because the storm is coming for every house. The storm's coming. My admonition to you this morning is build on the rock while there's still time. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus, but today's my day, I want to," I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to believe God for your eternal salvation. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I'm one of those that have heard and maybe haven't been obeying. And today I want to rededicate and recommit my life to doing what Christ has called me to do." If that's you today and you say, "Pastor, I want to recommit my life." If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Anybody at all? Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. I thank you for the foundation that you have established in our lives. And I pray, God, that maybe there's one today watching by way of the internet, because evidently in this room this morning we're all okay, but I don't know about those online. I can't see them, but Lord, you can. And so if you're watching this morning, or maybe you just didn't have the courage today to raise your hand in this building, I want you to pray this prayer with me and say, "Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for a foundation that is sure. I thank you for your blood that washes me white as snow. I ask you to forgive me and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll serve you forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Listen, if you prayed that prayer, whether in here or online, you're just as saved as you're ever going to get. But I want to encourage you to keep building on that foundation. Keep growing in the things of God. Amen? Hey, if you're here to be baptized, I want to have you go get ready to go and